we say, well, I just hit them right back. Well, you only do that one time, that the Roman government, that's it. You don't have a hand or you don't have a life. How do you deal with that? So what I want us to do tonight is to look at some things about this idea of resisting evil. How do you do that? How do you accomplish that? We live in a country where we have not had to do that. We're very fortunate that we have been able to do that. I don't know about you, but I've never been a slave. Now, some people have told me what to do, but I've never really been a slave. So what I want us to do is to look at this just a little bit tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. Now, the church at Thessalonica was a church that was dealing with persecution and problems. They were dealing with being those slaves to another government. They were dealing with being a person who was under the thumb of someone else. And so what they're trying to do, and what Paul's trying to do, is to help them to deal with that. Look at what he says in verse 15. See that no one render evil for evil to anyone. Don't render evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for, now listen to this, both for yourselves and for all people. Do those things. Turn this thing down. I'm getting a buzzer up here myself. It drives me nuts. I don't know about y'all. Paul here is saying to these people, I want you to understand you are to do good. But Paul, you don't understand. You don't understand persecution. You don't understand the problems. You don't understand difficulty. You don't understand people mistreating us. He said, I understand that, but what I want you to understand is you're not to render evil for evil. If somebody treats you bad, do you feel justified in treating them bad? Do you feel like it's okay if somebody says something bad about you, for you to say something bad about them, for them to do something to you? You have the right to do something to them? You don't. He's talking about having peace here. And he's talking about people living with other people in peace. And what he's trying to, and if you're going to do that, you're going to have to endure some things. And it's not going to be an easy thing. Now, Paul here is instructing the church here how that they're supposed to conduct themselves, how that they're supposed to deal with these persecutions, with the problems. And it's not only the idea of a slave and a master, that's a part of it, but the idea of a Christian living in a non-Christian world. Now, it seems like that more and more we're living in a non-Christian world. Some of the things that some people talk about nowadays, you thought nobody would ever say that. You know, the controversy that's going on in Alabama right now, you can't say a prayer before a football game. And you go, I never thought that would ever happen. I never thought about that. But just think about things like that. And there's going to be more laws that are passed, I'm afraid, that are going to kind of go along with that. And other things that Christians are going to be persecuted because of. And we've got to learn how to handle that. Because you see, if we don't handle that in the right way, what it's going to do is create a problem for Christianity. It's going to cause other people that see Christianity not really to understand the beauty of it and the power of it. You say, what's the beauty of being persecuted? The beauty in being persecuted is that we are doing what the Lord wants us to do. And that's the most important thing. That's greater than anything else. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not easy to do. It's not easy at all to do. So we have got to learn how to deal with this. Now, what I want us to do is to look at this. I want us, and I want you to turn these passages, because we're not going to deal with a whole lot of passages tonight, but I do want you to see these, and I do want you to understand these. I mentioned to you, I don't try to put passages up there. Nothing wrong with people doing that. But I want you to turn in your Bibles. I want you to see it for yourself within the Scriptures. And here, he's trying to say to us, what he wants us to do is, how do we react to evil when evil comes at us? Now, you don't have to be persecuted, but as a Christian, have you ever had somebody to treat you in a bad way because you're a child of God? Or say something bad to you? Or say something even to hurt you? And they knew what they were doing. It wasn't a matter of making a mistake. They knew what they were doing. And you knew what they were doing. What do you do about that? How do you react to that? Now, look at these things here. We need to endure evil treatment. Now, everything about us says, I'm not taking it. I'm not going to do that. If you're going to bother me, I'll be in your face. Now, Matthew 5, verse 39. Look at what he says here, and then we're going to go on down to verse 44 and 45. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. I've got a knife here. You want to cut that one out of your Bible? Would you like to cut that one out? We talk about the old king of old who took a pen knife. He cut out the Old Testament things that he didn't want. We can just cut that one out because we don't like that one. We don't know what to do with it. But in the context of what he's talking about there, he's talking about people that are going to treat you in a bad way. They're going to treat you in a very bad way. But whosoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Well, we got to go into a theological study of about 4 days to figure out exactly what that says. No, it's very simple. He is saying what you need to do is you need to understand you're going to be persecuted. And it may be a slap in the face. It may not be. And you go on to the other things that he talks about there in those verses following that. He's talking about a persecution. He's talking about somebody persecuting you because you're a Christian. Now, skip down to verse 44 and 45. But this is what I say to you. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. And do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? Now he tells them why. That, purpose word, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. This is why you're going to endure that. It's not because you're a weakling. It's not because you don't know how to deal with that. But it's because you are a child of God you're going to deal with that in the right way. You're going to conduct yourself in the right way. For. Now, look at this. For is a good word. You might want to mark that in your Bible. For he makes, this is what God does. This is the reason that we need to do this for God's sake. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, the sun's going to come up in the morning. Is it just going to shine on Christians? The rain's going to come, I think, Thursday. That's what the weatherman's saying. His coin flipped that way, so he's going to say that. Is it just going to rain on people that are faithful to God? He says, listen, this is the reason you need to do this. One, because you're a Christian. Two, because look at what your Father does. He treats other people right when they're treating him wrong. The same people that curse his name, the same people that reject his will, the same people that talk against God are those people that are blessed by God. So is it anything strange for God to ask you when people are mistreating you and when people are treating you in a bad way? For you to be willing to show a kindness toward them, a respect, an honor. The reason you respect and honor them is not because they deserve it, but it's because you're a child of God and that's who you are.
Amen.
We respect and we honor and we show love to other people, not because they deserve that, but we do it because we're children of God, and that's the way children of God live. You see, if we get in the devil's way of thinking, well, if they don't respect me, I'm not going to respect them. No, that's not it. It doesn't make any difference if they don't respect you. It doesn't make any difference if they don't care about you. You treat those people right. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, if you don't do that, you're not living the Christian life. You're not living like God wants you to live. You're not living as God's Son lived on this earth. You're not living that way. So what you've got to do, you've got to be willing to help other people and do for other people even though they don't deserve it. What they deserve is a slap in the face. What they deserve is somebody getting in their face. What they deserve is somebody saying something bad to them. But that's not what we are. We're Christians. So we're going to act like God's people, even in persecution, and especially in persecution. You know, have you thought about it? We're living in a country where it's easy to be a child of God. It's really easy to be a child of God. What if we lived in some foreign countries? We'd say, what if you lived in Russia, where you have communism, where people do not believe in God? What if you lived, how would you deal with that? Let me tell you something. You deal with that just like he's talking about here. You're willing to show respect and honor. Now, if it goes against God's will, we've got to speak up. Remember those three fellows that were carried into captivity and they had to deal with those things that were there? They showed respect and honor until that crossed the line of God, and then they had to do what was right, even if it was a fiery furnace. No matter what it was, they had to do it. We are to love our enemies. We're to love our enemies because we are people of love. Luke 6 and verse 35, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping, listen to this, hoping for nothing in return. You're doing something good to them? Have you ever done something wondering, what am I going to get out of this? And we're not going to hold our hand up and say anything about that. Have we done that before? Have you done something when you're not expecting anything, you don't want anything, you'll turn it down, doesn't make any difference what it is, you're going to do it, just because it's good to do. That's what he's talking about here. That's the way people should conduct themselves. Nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad that God is kind to the unthankful and the evil? Because there's times that every one of us are in one of those camps. And we got to be thankful. I'm glad God didn't just send lightning down and just zap people, you know. Well, most of us have been zapped years ago. Wouldn't be anybody here probably. But that's, we're supposed to be people that we're going to love our enemies. Is it easy to do that? Oh, let me tell you something. We can sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and we can sing all these songs up here. We can come to all the services in the world. That's okay. But to love your enemies, that's where Christianity starts. Anybody can be a Christian if all you got to do is sit in a building and sing songs. But what we got to do is to be a Christian when we go outside this building. And if your Christianity only lasts in this building, it won't get you to heaven. It'll only get you to a place called heaven. If it's not bad. Then this third thing. Avenge not yourselves. Whoa. Let me tell you something. I've seen Christians that they like to get revenge. And they were waiting for the day. I've seen people sit in services and look across at somebody else. And they're just waiting for a time that they can pin them down and just get them. You know. Nobody at church would do that. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they would. This is what he said, Romans 12, verse 17. He said, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. You look for the good in everybody. You look for the good that's there. Try to find that. Try to search for that. If it's possible. Now, sometimes it's impossible, okay, to live with evil people. But if it's possible, as much as depends on you, not on them. Because, see, they're going to treat you evil. So don't depend on them. You depend on yourself. As much as is within you, because it is you. You are not justified in hating, in punishing, in doing anything to anybody, no matter what they do to you. Now, in our laws of this country, if you take the law into your own hands and somebody steals something and you take a gun and you shoot them or you go steal something for them, you're just in as much trouble as they are and maybe even more. But here, he's saying here, don't act like that. You be the person. As much as it is in you, you live peaceably with all men. Live at peace. I've seen some people that I think they just like to fuss. And they like turmoil. I'll go ahead and say it. I watch these, what's the wives? They got Jersey wives, they got some in Atlanta, they got some of them. And I'm telling you what, I leave home. That bunch, they like to fuss and fight all the time. And it just, you know, and I'm thinking, who in the world wants to see this stuff? I don't like to be in a fuss and a fight, and don't intend to be in one very long. But see, this is where some people like to live. They like to live in a fuss and a fight and all this other stuff. And you're going, no, no, no. You don't want to do that. You don't want to live that way. But that's the way some people live. He said, live in the right way. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. You don't do that, but you had rather give place to the wrath. Put the wrath where it needs to be. That's basically what he's saying. Where does that need to be? It's in God's hands. God will deal with it. See, sometimes I don't understand things. I misunderstand things, and I think somebody's treating me bad when really they're treating me good. And so if they're treating me good and I think it's bad and I treat them bad, what does that do for me? So forget that. Get it out of your heart. And that's a hard thing to do. But get it out of your heart and don't allow that to be there. He goes on to say, it's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what we're supposed to do. I mean, if you live in a world where you aggravate me, I aggravate you. You bother me, I bother you. You slap me, I slap you. Where's the solution to that? We're living in a world now that people are mad about something that happened in the 1500s. And they're ready to blow people up and kill people and do all that because of somebody. Let me tell you something. They need to look at it for granted. And they need to find out where forgiveness is. Because it's in Christianity. Now, I'm not saying Christians always do it. But it's in Christianity. That forgiveness that we've got to have. And so here, he says, be willing to do that. How are we to act like? Well, 1 Peter 2 and verse 22. 1 Peter 2 and verse 22. Mark that one in your Bible. Here's how Jesus handled it. And this is a prophecy of Isaiah 53 and verse 9. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. He didn't try to deceive. He didn't try to lie to people. He didn't try to mistreat people. Jesus never mistreated anybody. Amen. He never did that. Now, he told some people what their life was to help them to change. And he was not necessarily happy about that. Oh, boy, I'm going to get to tell somebody that they're going to hell. No. If you're thrilled about that, then don't tell them. Go home and pray God forgive you. Ask him to help you because you need it, maybe more than they do. Be willing to do that. So here he's saying we need to act like Jesus. Here it talks about the kind of person he was going to be. He committed himself to doing what is right, to doing the Father's will, to following God. Was it easy to do? No. In doing that, what did he get? A cross. Is it easy for you to do? No. In doing that, what are you going to get? Maybe a cross. Maybe persecution. You're going to get that. That's going to be yours. And don't sit there and be so thrilled about it either. Do what is right. And be happy that you're doing what is right. Some people like it. And you know, I talked a while ago about the ladies that like the fuzz. Some people like that. Don't like it. Don't do that. Like peace. Like love. Like kindness. Like hope. Be willing to have those things there. And let that be a part of your life. Now, how do we react to it? We've already talked some about how we react to it, but I want to look at some other things here. Romans 14 and verse 19. Romans 14 and verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace. Look for peace. When you're looking for peace, be willing to endure whatever you've got to endure for that peace. You're saying, wait a minute. I'm going to be mistreated. That's not the thing. Pursue peace. Now, again, you may not be able to find that peace. It may not be able to be a part of your life. But you pursue peace. You look for peace. You try to find peace. Be willing to do that. The things by which one may edify another. You see, this thing of Christianity is not me. It's not what I get. But it's what I can do for others. It's less self and more of others. Amen. Jesus Christ didn't come to this world to save the saved. He didn't come to this world to get a bigger place in heaven. He had the biggest place that could ever be, the Son. He didn't need anything else. Why did he do that thing? Why did he endure the cross? Why did he endure the shame that of coming to this earth and being treated like he was treated? Why did he do that? Because of his love for us. For us. He did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. That was what he was trying to do. That was the purpose of that. We need to be peace, people of peace and people of edification to build others up and make others strong. And that's what the church should be. My job should be to help you to be the best Christian you can be. And your job should be to help me to be the best Christian I can be.
Right.
We're helping each other to go to heaven. That's what we've got to do. And if we don't do that, we're not going to get there. And maybe nobody else is either. We've got to conduct ourselves in the right way. Then he said, follow these things. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, he said, I want you to follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. I want you to have those. I want you to be right there. You know, when the role for faithfulness is there, you're standing right in the front. And you're ready to go with faithfulness. Wherever faithfulness goes, you're going to go. Whatever you got to do, faithfulness is going to be there with you. We're going to have those things, and that's going to be a part of it. See, this is what Christianity is all about. Christianity, and understand what I'm trying to say, Christianity is not just teaching people the gospel, but it's living the gospel. Now, you've got to teach it. Understand that. But sometimes we can teach it better than we can live. But we got to live. We got to live what the gospel has to say. Follow after these things. Do those things. And then he says, do good. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 11, he said, shun evil. Get away from evil. And go to what is good and seek what is good. That's what we're supposed to do. Then he goes on in point number 4 here. He says, I want you to be those people that imitate God. And you see, that's the whole thing. We're supposed to be people like God. We're supposed to be God on this earth as Christians. Now, don't take that too far, okay? But we're supposed to be people that we live as though God would live. We live as though Jesus would live. We live as though heaven were around us all the time. Because God is with us. He said he would dwell with us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to dwell with us. His Son says he would dwell with us. He has given us his word to be able to have that. Listen to 3 John in verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil. Don't act like what's evil. Don't do that. But what is good. He who does good is of God. But he who does evil has not seen God. I don't know how much plainer you can get. That's it. We're going to be people that we're going to be seeking what is right and what is good, staying away from evil, being people of peace, being people of kindness, being people that love our enemies, that try to do good for our enemies, and we act like that. Let me tell you something. Being a slave is not an easy thing. Neither is being a Christian, if you really follow it. It's not an easy thing. It's something that's going to take all you have in you. Because most of the people I know, if you mistreat them, they're not going to take. They're not going to just let anybody run over them. I've heard people say, nobody's going to run over me. And some of them, nobody does. But you see, they lose all of Christianity in that. You're going to be abused as a Christian. There's no way around that. The victory is not really in this old world. Wait a minute. It is in this world. Because you see, we're living in this world like we would live if we were in heaven. That's what it is. That's what this whole thing is about. Romans 12 and verse 17. In the sight of all men, you live a godly life. You live a godly life. Now, we're talking about here the basics of Christianity. We're not talking about faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. That's a part of it. But we're talking about this daily living every day. And daily living Christianity every day is not an easy thing. Because every fiber of our being is saying, don't bother me, don't abuse me, don't trouble me, and don't get in my way. But every bit of Christianity is saying, listen, I want to help you. I want to do for you. I want your good. I want your patience. I want your love. I want to do what I can to help you in every way. All the time. Even when I'm mistreated. Especially when you're mistreated. God do that. Let's live this Christianity. Because I'm going to tell you something. The world is looking for a Christian.
Amen.
They're looking for people that live it. Not just people that go to church. They're looking for people that it's a part of their life. It's in their fiber. It's in their being. And they know that God is there. And they want to be like their Father. They want to show Him honor and respect. And they do that by how they treat other people. Now, if you're not a Christian, I want you to become one.